This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
My, how things have changed.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. It's funny, earlier this year, British Prime Minister Gordon Brown called for a summit on oil prices for December 19th. Oil prices were out of control, got to do something, $145 a barrel. Well, they are holding that summit today, and OPEC is there, but the picture's a lot different. Oil is $42. And now Brown's message is we need to stabilize oil prices. They fell this week, even though OPEC had a record cut in production. As one analyst put it, the market threw a shoe at OPEC. Until the economy crashed, climate change and energy was the topic du jour, and ethanol was the lightning rod. The EPA was supposed to have rules by today on how much biofuel the U.S. should produce, but there isn't even a draft proposal. Sarah Gardner at our sustainability desk explains what happened.
Corn ethanol's already taken heat for higher food prices. Now scientists are questioning whether it actually produces more greenhouse gas emissions than regular gasoline. That's if you take into account indirect impacts like rainforests being converted to cropland. Jonathan Lewis at the Clean Air Task Force says that's because cutting down rainforests releases carbon dioxide.
That initial upfront release of soil and plant carbon swamps whatever benefits we get over the long term from using biofuels.
The EPA's initial calculations of biofuels' climate impacts alarmed industry. Biofuel producers have lobbied the administration hard to omit those calculations, calling the science immature. The new rules are currently stuck in the White House Office of Management and Budget and will likely end up yet another headache for the Obama administration. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Today could be the day the White House announces an automaker bailout package. I don't know, I just have this feeling. That and a lot of people are saying so. The stock markets are very nervous about this. Today the Nikkei fell 1%. Hong Kong shares were down 2%. The European markets are off by about 2%. The Dow is at 8604. It fell 219 points yesterday, about 2.5%. Doesn't it seem like something's missing this holiday season? Besides lots of cash and spending on credit cards? No, I'm talking about the hot toy. Here's Rico Galliano.
The holiday hit of 2006? The giggling TMX Elmo doll, sales of which made the toy industry shout,
"Again, again!"
But an Elmo-sized hit is actually rare, says industry analyst Robert Gottlieb.
It's not as bad as Haley's Comet, but it's close.
And in a recession year like this one, Gottlieb says, it's pretty apparent why the hit toy Comet hasn't come around.
When you're really thinking about how to spend your money, you're really far less vulnerable to fads and excitement.
Bad news for the industry, Gottlieb says, since in his experience, one hit toy can drive up sales for everyone. On the other hand, affordable, long-lasting classics like Play-Doh are doing well this year. And according to Renee Rice of the Toy Industry Association, sales are still strong compared to, almost any other industry.
Even in a poor economy, even in past recessions, toys have always been a category that have held their own.
And if parents have to put up with a little less of this, well, is that really so bad? I'm Rico Galliano for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
At the beginning of this year, did you think any of the following would happen? Oil would fall $100. Interest rates would drop to zero. The Dow would lose 5,000 points. It's still hard to believe the fallout of 2008. The Danish bank Saxo just came out with its outrageous claims for 2009, and they don't seem so outrageous now. We're joined by Saxo's chief economist David Carsbull in Copenhagen. David, let's start with the prediction that the S&P 500 will fall 40% next year to 500 points. Why do you think that's going to happen?
Well, we believe that the earnings will drop massively from here. The unemployment is increasing rapidly. A lot of companies are beginning to fail. They simply have too much debt. The debt is simply too big of a problem. I mean, now everybody has to focus on servicing the debt, paying it off, and that means that there will be basically no consumption going on.
And consumption also has to do with oil prices. OPEC just announced a production cut, pretty significant.
Yeah.
But you're still saying that oil is going to go down to $25 a barrel?
Yes. First of all, we believe that demand is slowing even faster than supply. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that the OPEC cannot maintain the discipline because Venezuela and Iran, places like that with a very big oil revenue as percent of total government revenue, they have a problem. They will need to produce more.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we'll see a lot of civil unrest in these countries.
Now, one of the predictions that surprised me a bit was what you said about China, that its growth will go to 0%. It's, what, 8-10% now?
Yeah. I don't think the Chinese authorities will, at any point will come out and say GDP growth was 0%. They will make up figures. There's no doubt about that. But at least we will probably see indicators telling us that growth was de facto 0%. The whole miracle of the Chinese economy was really based on the U.S. Consumers going into debt, buying cheap stuff from China,
mm-hmm.
and they don't have any plan B.
So, David, do you have any good prediction for next year?
Unfortunately, we were also relatively right last year. We were really bearish on the economy. But I think on the positive side, I think it cannot get much worse than what we're seeing here. And 2009 will be some sort of turning point.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we're tremendously bullish after that. If we actually see 500 in S&P 500, I think that will be a good buying opportunity. Not that we think that we'll see 1,000 a year afterwards, but I think stock markets will only gradually begin to recover after that.
David Carsbull, Saxo Bank Chief Economist, thanks for joining us.
Sure.
Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
American Public Media. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.